We had become so accustomed to assuming that democracy was a desirable thing, like clean air or cheap credit, obviously good for everyone, that we scarcely thought about it any more. Meanwhile, all round the world, democracy was being pushed back by various forms of authoritarianism. This is a very familiar human story. Ancient Rome managed to keep a more or less democratic republic for almost 500 years, only to lose it to a long line of authoritarian emperors, most of whom were extremely nasty. Who needed them? The authoritarian leader, whether he calls himself king or emperor or dear leader or president or father of the people, is usually just one man, usually indeed a man, but he may dominate millions of people. How does this work? One answer must be that the people enjoy being dominated. Dictators and ex-dictators have always had their fans. There are still admirers of General Franco in Spain or Mussolini in Italy and Stalin in Russia. Even Hitler is not without his groupies, and perhaps Napoleon, Henry VIII and Attila the Hun have them too. These monsters never quite go away, and neither, it seems, do we want them to. They embody the romance of absolute power. If you think this is fanciful, consider the popular obsession with monarchy. The fascination is reflected in movies and television, where plot after plot feeds off the notion that royal people are somehow intrinsically superior to the rest of us. Many of our favourite entertainments are built around the fantasy of absolute power. The high point of The Lord of the Rings was the return to power of Aragorn, with the immortal line, "Well, I'm back." There's no sign of democracy in epics like Star Wars, nor in a popular TV series called The Game of Thrones. I've never seen this particular soap opera, but I've been told that it is not about constitutional democracy. It seems that our contradictory culture embraces a subversive longing for a strong leader who will sweep aside the uncertainties of democracy. The sleazy struggle between politicians for money and votes and power in a democratic system is unedifying and rather pathetic. But we have little to fear from it because democratic governments rarely get anything done, good or bad. In a mature democracy, like ours, the powers are nicely balanced, resulting in complete paralysis and no action of any kind. In other words, stability. The least dangerous government is the one that is tied in knots by the complications of a multi-party system and never does anything at all. By contrast, we imagine that a powerful leader can make decisions and see them carried out just like that. It's the grand illusion of power, which hasn't changed since the days of the Roman Empire. A sad disillusion awaits the leader who expects to make history and instead finds himself in the iron grip of history. A little modesty would not go amiss. This is David Boucher.